Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast, a series of interviews with key leaders throughout the industry, all brought to you by the Content and Media team at Newco, a specialist global recruitment and executive search firm.
Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast. Your hosts today are me, Henry Johnson, consultant, and Tim Meredith, business manager. And we're delighted today to be joined by Julie Mitchell-Moore, the Vice President of Digital at A&E Networks UK. Growing up, Julie was torn between working in TV or with animals, but thankfully for us, Julie began her impressive career working at Sky as a presentation scheduler. Following on from this, holding varying different roles within the organization, such as Network Planning Operations Manager, Scheduling Manager, and then Head of On-Demand Planning. Alongside being a huge fan of spin classes and an avid runner, now Julie is leading the digital diversification and transformation of A&E Networks, SVOD, AVOD, and many more operations. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Great to be here.
And to get us started, we always like to ask people the same thing. How and why did you first get into content and media industry?
Well, it's funny, isn't it, when you take these moments to kind of look back on where it all started and why it all started. And I think it really came down to a passion for watching TV and going to the cinema and sort of watching movies and just really having that passion for the big screen and how that then gets into, you know, how you can tell stories and, you know, get taken away and transported to another world. And so did media studies at A-level, and I think that was the first time that I suddenly thought, actually, something I really enjoy, I might actually be able to make a living out of it, which would be fantastic. And so after doing a film degree, nearly started working on a local newspaper in the sort of ad sales department. And it was only because I was waiting for the next sort of group that were going to be sort of inducted into the workflow that I got an opportunity for an interview at Sky. And the rest is kind of history. And I do remember I was living at home at the time, just left university, and Sky called. These were days before sort of emails, long time ago, and called, and I spoke to my mum because I was away, and they were kind of like, oh, we've got it, you know, there's an opportunity for an interview. And I just remember, I think my mum sold me to them, saying, oh my God, she'd be amazing. She watches TV all the time. And so I think I have my mum to thank for getting me the interview at Sky.
Oh, I love that. And I think this is always one of my favourite questions, as it's never the same answer, but everyone still seems to interlink. Oh, that is excellent. I mean, handing over now to Tim to dig a little bit further into the past.
Yes. So at the risk of being very introspective, what would you say is the achievement you're most proud of?
Again, it gets you thinking back as to what have I achieved over the last sort of few years.
And so that's the big question.
I know it is the big question. And I know you're wanting a big answer. I think it's so interesting because you sort of look back at the things you've been involved in. And, you know, I've been so privileged to work at places like Sky, where sort of every few months there was something new that came out, whether it was the digital transformation, whether it was going from, you know, SD to HD to 3D to UHD, or, you know, just launching their on-demand platform in 2010, which was sort of this huge step forwards of launching this massive library of movies that were available to anyone at any time. I think it comes down to two. So that would be the sort of first one. So in 2010, launching Sky's on-demand platform with the progressive download as it was. And so that would definitely be sort of the one. And the second would be the most recently, where we've launched Crime Investigation Play direct to consumer. So it's the first thing like that, you know, that our company's done, and sort of really being able to connect with our customers directly has been just a huge achievement for the company.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose connected to that, you know, getting to the point in the industry where you go from here's Sky's content on demand to here is just one, because it's such a popular, here's just one sliver, and getting more and more segmented and being able to be so much more targeted in how you run that sort of thing. And we know from your background that you have been involved in the digital and VOD space since pretty early in your career. But how do you feel that, you know, VOD and the services around it have changed throughout your time in the industry?
Well, it's like moving from being a sort of mistress to a wife. I like to think.
can we quote you on that? Is that going to be the full quote for the show?
I like that one.
You know, it sort of used to be the bit on the side, and it was a side to the main event. And I think much more these days, you know, VOD and digital is becoming central to what is going on for companies and becoming so important, because customers being able to watch what they want, when they want, where they want, it is how we're all consuming content. It's that flexibility to satisfy those customers where their viewing needs are that's been so important. So I think that's how it's changed, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And I think you do win the prize for the best pull quote, I think of any podcast we've done, so enjoy that. And the final question we'd like to ask on the past is what or who would you say has been the biggest influence on your career?
Thinking back, it's always the people either who've really helped you out and you know, invested time and their faith in your ability to step up and step forward. So I think my first management role, there was suddenly a quick conversation going, yeah, we're about to go from sort of analog to digital. Do you fancy running a whole team? Me going, okay, yeah. You know, it wasn't about me pushing myself. It was about someone going, oh, okay, she does a good job. Let's give her this opportunity. And so sort of where those opportunities have happened, where people have really believed in your skill set and given you those opportunities, I think those are the people that have sort of stood out in my mind. But then I think it's all the change that's happened that's really, you know, sort of stuck out in my mind and been the influence, because when there's been a new project or a new development, that's what's given me my opportunity to work on something and expand my own sort of skill set. So, yeah.
Perfect. Fantastic. Lovely. Well, that was the past. Let's now turn to the present and the future. Henry.
Thank you, Julie. That was really interesting to hear your take on that. And I think part of our roles is we get this front row seat into everyone's different opinions when it comes to the industry, different segments and different areas. But we'd be keen to understand, what is your current take on the state of the content and media industry at the moment?
Well, it's such an exciting time, isn't it? Nothing stands still. Everything is constantly changing. You know, it reminds me of sort of tectonic plates. You know, while they're shifting, there is complete instability and chaos. But, you know, when they settle, I think there's this opportunity for a stronger, realigned strength that comes through in what's changed and what's moved. And so for me, it is about, you know, that there's so much choice in the moment for customers. And, you know, it feels like every other day people are launching US VODs or, you know, there's takeovers and mergers. And I think hopefully that will result in this sort of stronger proposition for customers when everything sort of settles. And it is constantly changing and it's constantly moving. But I think that's part of the excitement of sort of working in this industry.
100%. No, it keeps us on our toes for sure. And thinking ahead to the future, either in your personal or professional life, what are you most excited about in the years to come?
I think it's that continual change. That's what excites me. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning is, you know, how do we keep progressing? How do we keep making things better? I think that's how, you know, I think a lot of people feel that they can get excited about this industry, because it doesn't stand still, it keeps moving. And that is what keeps me excited for sure.
No, I completely agree. I think it's same with us as well. And I'm now handing back over to Tim to discuss our topic that matters.
Yes. So for each show, we pick a different topic that's sort of slightly curated to the person we're speaking to. And in your case, given your background and your focus, we thought we would look at that kind of shift from linear to digital. And you were speaking before about how, you know, as you put it, it's gone from mistress to wife in terms of sort of habits and practices of it used to be the extra bit on top. Now it's the focus in terms of how we consume data. So having spent your career working within the space, what's your take on how attitudes have shifted when it comes to, you know, going from linear to digital from when you started to now?
It's been a journey. I think, you know, really it's how you bring more into focus. And I think it's not about this massive shift or this, you know, this big upheaval. It's really about diversification and making sure that, you know, we are touching the customer touch points wherever they are. And, you know, linear is still incredibly important. And you could argue that's having its own reinvention with fast. Yeah. And so it's all about how do you get content to where people are watching. And so, you know, yes, I was talking about it being a shift and it, you know, now being sort of a focus. But I think it's just at the heart of things, you have your brands or you have your content, and that's what sits at the middle of everything. And then you have those customer touch points. So it's less about linear turning into digital and digital taking over the world. And it's more just about being in the right places to get your content or your brands where it matters.
And I know prediction making is always a bit of a dangerous game, but how do you see the kind of the future of the non-linear, especially given that it feels like the last sort of 10-15 years has been the big change? It in some ways feels like it's settling down a bit and people understand the space a bit more and kind of know a formula. So how do you see the future of the non-linear space changing?
That is such a big question, isn't it? It's the age-old question of, is it, you know, are there going to be multiple more in entrants, or are things going to get merged together even more?
And consolidate.
And I think that's still a big question. And you've got amazing platforms like Sky who are doing a fantastic job at bringing everything together under one roof. But for people who don't want pay TV, you've then got all of these sort of micro SVODs that are looking to, you know, forge their own path as well for those outside of the kind of pay TV industry. So, you know, it is that blend of, you know, aggregation versus sort of the independent kind of route, which is interesting. So obviously, you know, Discovery is still continuing their, you know, fantastic partnership with Sky sort of even further. So that, you know, it's everyone needs to do it and look at how partnerships will be a focus, I think, going forwards, is how do you forge those relationships that will help your business kind of thrive and the broadest reach possible for your for customers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then one final thing, and this is something we see a lot, I think probably, you know, once or twice a month, there'll be articles coming out entitled something like "The Death of Linear TV," or like, you know, "Linear TV is gone, forget about it, bury it in the ground, move on." Obviously, that's probably not an entirely fair representation, but what do you think about that sort of the thought of putting linear TV to one side? Do you think that's sort of where it's going and fair, or do you feel like it's a more complex picture than that?
I love this question. I think this question really sort of, you know, summarizes what we, you know, a lot of us have been talking about. And I think, you know, I remember way back when I was at college, my media teacher, saying that the music charts were dead, right? Yeah. It was ending in a very similar way as linear is dead, right? And, you know, I think the music industry is more vibrant today, you know, than it ever has been because of the way it's managed to diversify into, you know, the digital space and to become, you know, it's less about Top of the Pops and it's more about Spotify. But music at its core is as popular as ever. And I think it's just that evolution of being able to, you know, make content available in different places in different ways. And I think linear is having that evolution, whether it's into fast or it's into on demand, but it will always have a place for certain types of content, whether it's Love Island, whether it's sports, you know, live TV. I think that will always have its place for people to come together for those sort of water cooler moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Lovely stuff. Well, thank you for taking us through that and for engaging on our topic that matters this week. So I'll hand over to Henry for diversity.
Excellent. And I mean, before we dig into that, on Top of the Pops, that it's no longer, is it? I know, a bit of a digress, but it was the first year that it didn't happen. I was shocked. Brilliant. On diversity and inclusion, it is such an important topic, Julie, as you know, and it's something which we really like to champion over here at NewCo. And taking a bit of a step back, we'd be really interested to know how you've seen attitudes towards diversity and inclusion change throughout your career.
Yeah, I mean, I can obviously only talk about being a woman in the industry. That's where my viewpoint comes from. And I think, you know, what I love to see is twofold, right? One of which is how are those voices being heard in the everyday, and how are we, you know, encouraging those voices to be heard? You know, there's no one can feel comfortable in a room until they feel like their voice matters and people are listening to what they say and that their opinion is valid. And it doesn't mean everyone agreeing with everyone else, otherwise that would be a terribly dull environment. But it is about people feeling that they have the right to speak up and they will have the opportunity to be heard. For me, it's about seeing more women at senior levels and seeing it in practice, and you know, women being holding those roles where they really kind of make a difference in sort of business, and making sure that you practice what you preach at a company. And it's great having rules and or benchmarks, but if the reality is that the culture's not a place where people can sort of thrive, then that's what you kind of need to look at. So for me, it's about the changing spaces, the changing faces, and making sure that as you look at a company, you can see that reflected, you know, in the hierarchy and in the structure.
100%, and it goes back to that imposter syndrome as well, when, like you said, seeing more women in senior positions within the industry. And I mean, what would your advice be to someone who wanted to enter the industry but they felt like they didn't fit in or it wasn't the place for them?
I say change jobs. I think, you know, as much as it's there are plenty of places out there. A&E Networks is an amazing example where everyone talks about the culture and about how, you know, everyone's welcome, everyone has a voice, and it's the people that really kind of makes the company. And I think you know, there are definitely amazing companies like that out there. I think, you know, do your homework, do before you go and join a place, ask about their culture, ask about, you know, how it works in practice, because it is so important. You know, you spend so much time at work, and to not feel like you belong, to not feel like you feel included, you know, that would be a terrible waste of time. So find a company that has the same values that you do, and I think that's where you can thrive.
Completely agree there, and it's such a grassroots problem as well, especially talking on the gender diversity side of things, and just throwing it out there, but how do you think organizations can make their workplaces more accessible when it comes to the gender diversity side of things?
I guess it sort of falls into different levels, right? So one is sort of physical. So, you know, if you're looking to make your company more welcome, then just making sure you have those physical spaces that make people feel comfortable. Then I think, you know, about having employee relation groups. So, you know, having a women's working group at your company can make a big difference, to talk about the topics and to raise awareness within the company of the challenges and the problems that may exist that, you know, once you start talking to people, you realize it's not just you. And then I've covered it earlier. I think the other thing is that representation throughout the business and making sure that, you know, you can see it in practice.
And it's that thing about talking as well. And until you talk about it, you don't realize that other people think the same and they agree, and forming groups such as those is excellent. And we could continue talking about this topic for quite a while, I'm sure. But I'm going to hand back over to Tim.
Wonderful. So we've obviously spoken about you and your place in the industry and your kind of thoughts on that side of things, but we'll take a turn to sort of you more personally. So we always like to ask our guests, what would be your perfect weekend?
It kind of depends. You know, we're recording this on a day where it's about -3 degrees outside. So I always think of somewhere warm when you ask me on a day like today. I grew up in Brighton, so by the sea. So my heart belongs by the sea, really. That's
you love a pebbly beach, a pebbly, painful beach.
No, well, yes, I have a lot of hard feet, clearly. But no, it would be on a nice hot beach, I think would probably be, you know, I love being by the beach, love it. You mentioned earlier, I love my spin classes, so love doing that as well. And sort of walks with the dog, lunch or dinner with family and friends, and a lot of it being by the beach would be my perfect weekend.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now you fall into other category. I'm more of a city breaks person. I love a beach for about 45 minutes, and then I haven't got the attention span. I need to look at a bus or something. I don't know.
need to breathe in that air.
All the diesel fumes. They just relax me. Oh, delightful. Well, that takes us to the quick fire round, Henry.
Excellent. So, Julie, have to think on your feet here. Okay. Some surprises coming your way. City or country?
Country.
Nice. Netflix or Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
Nice. Plane or train?
Plane. Not very environmentally friendly, though.
Always a window seat. Well, what was the last movie you watched?
We actually watched the latest Batman film.
Nice, strong choice. Would you rather ride a bike, ride a horse, or drive a car?
Can I not have all three, one like after the other?
horse on a bike in a car, just combine them all together.
Yeah, that could
dangerous
work.
Way.
That could work. Bike, I'll settle for the bike.
Yeah, possibly the safest option as well. What is your favourite family vacation spot?
Greece.
Nice. And what is your favourite game of sport to either watch or play?
Tennis.
And if you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That's such a tough one.
I left it till the end.
I know, right? I mean, probably anything Italian. Is that too raw? That's so raw.
No, we'll take
the cuisine of Italy.
Excellent. Handing over to Tim to wrap things up now with our final question.
Yes. So we always finish off with the exact same question to every guest. What is the one piece of advice you would give to someone entering the industry today?
I think it's about retaining that inner confidence and that inner resilience, because, you know, look, it can be hard and it can be tough and things don't always go your way, but it's about taking the opportunities when they arise, creating your own opportunities, and, you know, putting yourself out there, knowing that you might take two steps back before you take a step forwards, and that's okay. But be resilient, be as strong, and find a group of people that inspire you, and I think you'll go a long way.
Perfect. Wonderful.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Julie. That takes us to the end.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and give us a rating. It really helps these stories to be found and enjoyed by more people. For more information about Newco, we can be found at www.newco-group.com. That's NEUCO-group.com.